Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 125, episode 1 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers and their Koch industries, and fuck Fox News. It's Monday, March 16th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Exit Zeit. Enter, guys. Ooh. Take my hand. Ah. We're off to Daily Zeitgeist Land. Courtesy of Aaron Henry, and I'm thrilled to be joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
The CDC says, wash your hands, man. Corona gonna get us banned. Soap in my right, warm water in my other hand.
Wow. T.I. is Rubber Band Man, brought to you by Crispy Meme Donut, a.k.a. Crispy Yamaguchi, man. Big Willy style. Thank you for that, a.k.a. as we try to make light of the global pandemic that is disrupting everyone's lives so much. Shout out and patience and power to everybody trying to get through this right now.
Did you say Big Willy style because Christy Yamaguchi, man, when we met him in person, told you that was his favorite album?
Yeah. Exactly. Cool. I was like, name your favorite Will Smith album right now. And I'm like, don't ever say Willennium.
Yeah.
All right, was that the same album?
Yeah. It was Willennium? So what was it? Big Willy style was not an album? Maybe Willennium, a separate album. Okay.
No. Big Willy style was in 97.
Got it.
Willennium came out in time for the millennium because he knew what was going on.
I just forgot which order I got these tattoos in.
Yeah, always remember.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the very talented Oscar Ramirez.
Hey, all right, guys. Thanks
What's
for
up,
having
man?
Me here.
Welcome. It's great to have you.
The hysteria is real now, right? Global pandemics and all. And,
You know, very real.
Something that our generation hasn't gone through, so nobody knows how to react but go to memes and just make fun of things. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's the times we're living
I feel like
in.
Like older people, like boomers, have they're responding one of two ways.
Okay,
depending if
boomer?
They're immigrants or U.S. residents,
yes.
Like born and raised. I'm having trouble with my mother, a Japanese immigrant who was born directly after the end of World War II, being like, nah, we good.
Yeah.
I don't worry. I will not get sick. I will wash. Right. Like, I'm like, no. You need to stay back. I will do whatever you need to happen. Please protect yourself. She's like, no. She's like, I got errands to run.
Yeah.
And then there are other people who are also freaking out, being like, buy everything in the store.
Yes.
We're learning a lot, I feel like, about people's psychologies throughout this.
I applaud those people, though, that are not going to let it stop them, and they're still going to go out and live their normal lives because, I mean, yes, if you have to take those proper precautions and quarantine yourself when you need to, but, man, come on, you can't just live your whole life inside the entire time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think it's about really exposing yourself. You don't want to go out to, like, you know, anywhere crowded. You know, if you got to pop in somewhere, get something real quick, pop back home, obviously, I think that's fine. But, like, when it gets to stuff, it's just like, well, I need to go to the market. I'm like, no, fool. If you're going to, I'll go.
Right.
Because I'm looking at what these mortality rates are for people in their 70s and up, and I'm like, we're not playing that game.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding, too, is that, you know, we're sending out information on a thread with my family, and, you know, just my wife is a doctor. She's got some interesting, you know, she's got some links to things that are, you know, precautions people should be taking. And my dad is like, guys, take a deep breath.
Yeah, right?
Everybody settle down. Right. This is not life-changing. Like, just trying to be like, everybody chill the fuck out. And, you know, it's just, like, I get it. He's extra stoic, too.
Yeah,
so it's
right.
Like,
he'll be on fire and be like, it's just a little hot here.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, like, you know, he is the age cohort that needs to be the most worried. So
yeah, and they also have the mentality where they're like, even elderly people are like, I'm refusing to disrupt my routine, which is the same thing when we're like, hey, what about the environment?
Yeah.
And like, look, I'm unwilling to disrupt my routine.
Yeah.
And they're going to, you know, I just please look after the elderly people as much as possible.
Yeah.
Don't let no matter how tough some of your parents are, really try to communicate to them. Even if you're fucking tough, you have to limit your risk.
That was my reply. I was like, we're not panicking, man. We're just worried about you.
Yeah.
So is your dad still getting out there, though?
Probably.
Are you guys keeping him inside?
I don't know. He's on the other coast, so I can't keep tabs on that guy, man. He's still a wild card.
He's still doing those, like, group CPR classes.
Right.
Without the mouthpieces.
Yeah.
Because he does it old school.
Yeah, he does
it's
got
to feel right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Oscar, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. Right. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We are going to talk about some of the things, some more things.
It's all coronavirus. Let's be real. Like,
we're going to talk about some information that's coming out from there was a UCSF infectious disease conference, or like it was called the San Francisco Biohub panel on COVID-19 with some of the top health experts. And they had some not so super reassuring things to say, but some things that are probably good for us all to hear. We are going to talk about, you know, what the Democrats are trying to do. We're going to talk about employers, how employers are making things different for people who are employed, panic buying, if you need something to watch, what you could be watching, what people are watching, Contagion, namely.
It's 2011's
Contagion.
Outbreak is like number six on Netflix.
I know, honestly.
Only because Contagion is not on Netflix. But
right, yeah.
Oh, exactly. Is that what the deal is?
So everybody's going for Outbreak. Yeah.
Honestly, Outbreak's a better film.
What?
I enjoyed Outbreak more.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, actually, what am I saying? I haven't seen Contagion.
Yeah, you need to see Contagion.
I'm an Outbreak freak.
Contagion is very good. I mean, it's by Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah, yeah. I don't doubt that. I don't know why. There's something about...
It's wild. You need to watch it because...
Marcel the Outbreak monkey.
Right.
Who then got work on Friends, I think, after.
Yeah. No, Outbreak is a Hollywood film. It's like if Jurassic Park was about a pandemic. Like, that's what it feels like.
It's about
like,
Ebola-like virus.
Exactly, right. Exactly. And remember Denny? He was on that plane. Boy, he shouldn't have been on that. Patient Zero, I remember he's all sweaty.
All I remember is that they managed to make a global pandemic conform to the Hollywood plot structure so that, like, there was a single case that they had to, like, catch before
before it got
spread
somewhere
to the world,
and then maybe bomb an entire town.
Right, exactly.
They're like, no, don't bomb that town.
Turns out that's not how it works, and Contagion is actually very, I don't know, prescient, to the point that the guy who wrote it is having a God complex trip across mainstream media, or did at the end of last week.
You'd love to see it.
But first, Oscar, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are, sir?
Well, I do a podcast called The Daily Dive every day, so really my search history is just nothing but coronavirus, doing research and whatnot.
Fellow daily broadcaster here. Yes.
On the other side of that thing, I'm a big foodie. I love food. So my last two things, I looked them up because I couldn't decide if I wanted to go get some smash burgers or some yakitori. So there's a place called Burgers Never Say Die in Silver Lake.
Oh, man.
That's
awesome
there.
Okay, you're getting Danil, the engineer. He's twerking
DJ
right
Danil
now.
He's
busting it open against the wall while twerking.
Wow.
Crispy meat edges. Oh, man, that's so delicious. Yeah. And then yakitori. I went to Japan just this past year, and I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And I've just kind of been wanting to get those skewers over and over again.
Yeah.
So those are really the last only things I've been searching for.
There's
lately.
A yakitori place in downtown that opened up. That is supposed to be pretty good.
What is yakitori?
Torigoya?
Yakitori. No, it's another. It's called Hatch or something. Ooh,
I
got to look it up.
I have heard of it.
It's very fine.
By the way, Miles, I think you mixed up the pronunciation. It's yakitori, as I said. Yeah.
It's old wacky turkey.
Old wacky turkey. I think I nailed it,
it's
bro.
Basically little chicken skewers, and they cook it over tiny little coals and whatnot. And it's super delicious.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it's one of my favorite foods. Being Japanese, it's like one of the first spots I hit. If you're ever in the Tokyo area, find you some yakitori. I don't know whether it's called Hatch is the place I'm talking about.
What's the
make a note for that?
Is it the preparation, the fact that you get to cook it yourself, and therefore it just goes from being done to right into your mouth?
No,
or
they
cook
it for you.
Oh, they cook it for you.
They bring you the little skewers and
And is it like
wasabi?
Marinated? Is it what's?
Well, it depends. You'll coat it with either salt or yakitori sauce maybe like some kind of yuzu kosho, which is a yuzu pepper sort of thing to give
yuzu
it a little
kosho.
Turn it up a little bit. Yeah, yuzu kosho.
Right.
There's another place called Sakura House in LA that's also really good if you like yakitori.
Good.
Also.
Well, the first time we went to Torigoya, my friend said, "Oh, we got to go to try this place because they have medium rare chicken." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? Sound right. But they, you know, they cook it enough. It's not
right.
Get salmonella out of it. But I mean, that's what drew me right away. I was like, okay, I gotta try this. You know, if I die or not, I'm gonna get it. So.
Oh yeah, I mean, in Japan you can get like chicken sashimi too.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
That's that shit.
I'll try it.
Okay. I had it. Okay. I mean, here's the thing.
And you're still here.
We've been eating in Japan. We've been eating these things for a long time. You know, we're out here eating fucking blowfish that are poisonous.
Right,
but we figured a way to do it. I know it's very unsettling to be like, chicken sashimi, maybe not.
Yeah
worth
that
a try
scares
if
me.
You like it. My other favorite thing, underrated thing to get, are chicken hearts at yakitori place.
I'll eat it all.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to work on a food radio show as well, so I am open to trying everything. I've probably tried a ton of stuff that people don't like. You know, people are weird about textures a lot.
Yeah,
yeah, they
are. It doesn't
are.
Bother me. I, you know, I'll try it and, you know, if it tastes
great.
Go
for the hearts, I'm telling you. Underrated. You'll be very pleasantly surprised. Yeah.
What is something you think is underrated, speaking of which?
Underrated? Man, staying at home with your partner and your dog, obviously in times we're living in right now. How many times do you wake up and you're like, man, I don't want to go to work today. I wish I could just stay in, or I wish I could call in or something. Well, now a lot of people have that opportunity to do that. So, I mean, that's cool. You know, staying in, watching a bunch of TV, catching up on stuff. Watching like really bad reality shows. Have you guys seen Love is Blind on Netflix?
We've been watching it the third time in a row at this point.
That whole thing is like, this is the worst show ever. And you turn to the person next to you, you want to watch another episode?
Yeah. And you're like, this is a mess.
Yeah, it's a mess. Exactly.
That's how I got even my partner, Her Majesty, watching that show. She's like, she doesn't like reality, but whenever I'm watching, she does the guilty thing. I catch her looking through the door. And I'm like, just come sit down. And she's like, why would he say that? And I'm like, sit down because you want to know. Look, the allure is too strong.
That's like me watching Real Housewives.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, where I would like be walking through the room, but just keep finding excuses.
Oh, your wife is watching?
And like, I didn't even realize I was doing it. I'd just be like, yo, what are they doing?
You walk back and forth folding the same towel a bunch. Right. You're like, oh, okay.
I'm like supposed to be doing work, but I'm really just find myself paying
that
attention.
That Vicky is really whooping it up, huh?
You need to turn your brain off sometimes.
Yeah, you know?
Especially right now, everything you guys do, a lot of news, everything.
Yeah.
And take a break and watch Housewives or Love is Blind.
We should probably start just having a streaming like content review of things people or like recommendation engine of some sort.
Yeah, I mean,
for people to
full disclosure, the show is probably going to evolve a bit due to coronavirus and people taking precautions. I think it's safe to say that starting tomorrow, tomorrow's show, we'll be recording from our homes
remotely,
and there might not be a guest because we just don't want it. We just want to figure out the best way to do it while still giving y'all the show that you need. But I think part of that may be like, Jack, what did you watch today?
Yeah, exactly.
What did I watch today?
Yeah, yeah.
Am I the last one? Is this where I died?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
This is it?
All right.
This is it.
Yeah. God. I mean, it's already started evolving. Like, Miles and I don't do the Isaiah Thomas Magic Johnson kiss
at half court.
At half court before the show starts. So, you know, you can sense a different vibe already.
Yeah, but you can hear it in our voices when we haven't given each other little kissies before.
Little kissies. What is something you think is overrated, Oscar?
Overrated. Well, we're talking a lot about coronavirus, obviously. And I think everybody knows that the federal response has not been up to par, but
I think
the president, you know, he's worried about a lot of things, but I think he goes out there and is like, it's all going to be fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that his attitude towards this whole thing has been like severely overblown and overrated. I mean, he's declaring a national emergency about this thing. And you think back to the national emergency he declared about the border.
Right.
I mean, you know, what was that all about? This is a national emergency. This is something we need to pour a lot of resources into.
Yeah, and it only took a few months. Right. I think it's funny because the states were clamoring for this emergency declaration to free up funds, to free up Medicaid, to free up FEMA funds and things like that. And, well, I mean, we'll get into what the delay was for all of that. But, yeah, I think it's
And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be
false? A myth that doomsday preppers are actually crazy and that we're prepared for anything. Because you see these runs on toilet paper and all this stuff.
And
those people are sitting pretty and they already know they got it.
Yeah,
I know. They're laughing.
I could last a month if I need to, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody else is running out trying to get their supplies last minute and, you know, there's nothing right now.
Just, you know what? Just look, you're running on toilet paper? Get that backyard bidet going. Get that hose.
Backyard bidet.
Mean? Blow
that's
it
exactly
out, it. Baby.
I just have the hose going up, snaking up through the window in the upstairs bathroom.
It's called the working man's bidet.
Exactly.
Somebody on Facebook had just posted a big old story about that. So I mean,
the working man's bidet?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of bidet memes for people who they're like, ha, 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 you still use paper, you fool.
Fools.
Yeah.
Super producer on a hose, and he sent us that meme of the woman, the two faces, like her, you know, the one who like tries the thing and she makes the like,
oh yeah,
oh the kombucha
then,
lady, yeah,
okay, yeah. But it was BIDE and then T and happy and then N.
Oh, by day, by den,
by den, not so happy. The people who know the expiration date of gasoline are sitting pretty right now. I feel like that's like a doomsday prepper thing. I had no idea gasoline had an expiration date, and then I think it was shot.
What?
Yeah, yeah. It's like it only lasts. It's only good for about a year.
Really?
Sean Riley, Sean Baby, taught me that. He grew up, he's an interesting dude, the comedy writer. He grew up in like with prepper parents and like knows all this interesting shit.
Damn. Oh, so what? It just doesn't combust as easily at that point?
Combust, yeah, it starts going bad. No, it starts smelling bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't eat it.
Can't eat it.
You'll get sick.
All right. Let's talk about just a quick update. What coronavirus has killed your local supermarket, as we made reference to at the end of last week. A lot of pictures floating around of just apocalyptic looking supermarkets. I guess like more for Americans, it's apocalyptic looking, right? Because a lot of other countries have had
I've had to do rationing
or have
been hit with, you know, embargoes or things like that, sanctions that keep stores empty.
Yeah, the last time America had to deal with rationing was the gas fuel rationing in the 70s, and that shit is like legendary here. People are like, you remember there were lines around the block, man, for getting gas, and now you see all these pictures of like Trader Joe's that just look like they're, you know, a store where you buy shelving because it's just shelves with nothing on them.
I feel like people were even like snagging things they didn't need just because it was the last thing at the store. It's like, well, you know what? We need five more shower puffs.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like, you know, hoarding is a symptom of our culture. You know, it's like,
oh, yeah.
you know, the people who have it really bad are, you know, we make reality shows and point and laugh at them. But, you know, as a culture, we all have a little bit of that in us.
It's kind of a cycle, too, because everybody, I'm just going to use toilet paper. Everybody's buying up toilet paper. And you might be one of those people, I don't need it yet. I don't have to go crazy. But now you have to play the game because now it's gone.
Yeah.
Where are you going to get it from after that? You know, you go on Amazon, you try to order it online even, it's like not available till May or something.
Yeah.
And in the supermarkets, you know, a lot of places, they have stock, but they're only putting out a limited number. So you have to line up early in the morning just to grab your stuff. And when
because
it's done
supply
for that day,
chain,
it's done.
Yeah,
exactly.
Supply chains get interrupted.
So you have to play that game even though a lot of it is psychological.
I mean, it's also just revealing about, it's an expression of how wealthy, like it, just the way, you know, if you're in the 1% or someone who's a billionaire, you will begin to hoard money, capital.
Oh, of course.
At the expense of all of those people around you, because you are no longer considering those around you. You're saying, I need to figure out all the things I can take.
It's kind of the most pure expression of our national ethos, right?
And then it's coming down to accumulation. Coming down to people who it's no longer capital or wealth, but now it's toilet paper without consideration for other people. Is this necessary?
Yeah.
Is it, or am I playing something out of my head where I'm like, well, fuck it. I need to do right for me at the expense of other people, because that is constantly how we are being treated as citizens.
Yeah.
So it's just natural that it's expressing itself like that too. Hoarding without consideration, hoarding with purely yourself in mind.
Yeah.
And then even people who are gouging people who are like, oh, yeah, there's like a story about people who just like go city to city or town to town to buy as many like wipes and things they can out of stores just to resell.
Yeah.
And I get it, too, because the system's left many people with not many options. And this is an opportunity to be a good capitalist and sell as many things you can just to survive.
Yeah. There's also an interesting hierarchy, as we've made reference to, toilet paper and paper towels. For some reason, people were just like, fuck, we need it. We're going to run out. I don't necessarily know why that became such a thing.
Got to keep clean.
Yeah. And I think people are now, for the first time, finding out where, like, what time the shipments come in of different goods, which is new, I think, to a lot of people.
There's like text threads I'm on where people are like, oh, I talked to the manager, the shipment comes in this time, so I'll be back then. You should probably check this time. It's like, you really, at this point, because everything's so scarce.
Yeah. I think right-wing ideologies probably, you know, people who are like, let's just let the market decide. It's starting to look a little bit.
Starting to decide right
now. Yeah, starting to decide that we might need a little bit of help. Ben Shapiro was, you know, freaking out on his show, and people, he was like, when are we going to get the testing? And people went in his comments and were like, well, let's just let the market handle it.
Yeah, the market will handle it, right?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happening with all these states and local municipalities, even this whole big national emergency that Trump is announcing. These are steps that need to be taken so that things can be streamlined, because the market's not handling those things. The federal government needs to step in and help.
Yeah.
These testing kits it's huge how much the demand is for them. We don't have enough. The government's sending out testing kits with certain little things.
Incomplete.
Everybody wants to know if they have it at this point. You guys have talked about this before. Obviously, everybody will get it at some point, kind of.
Right.
And it's just, these things build a hysteria. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then, we had talked about how the Bond movie had been moved back. Now, Quiet Place 2, Mulan. We had previewed a bunch of movies that were coming out in.
Damn it.
What month were we in? March?
March.
Yeah.
I guess
those movies aren't. There's some Bunny movie sequel about a rabbit. Easter Hop. Easter Hop Bunny.
Wow.
My wife works in the movie and TV industry, and I won't say who, but she's telling me stories about actors that are just walking off the sets. They're like, we're not doing this anymore.
Right.
Everybody's closing shop. We are too. Without consulting producers and whoever's doing the movies, they're just like, F this, I'm out.
That's tough too.
Yeah. Just turn to the producer. Why don't you act, man?
Yeah.
Why don't you do it?
Oh, if you feel good about it, why don't you do it?
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and man, these health experts, not reassuring. I don't know who's in charge of their messaging, their PR, but it's really...
They should tell us the opposite of whatever they're saying. Because I don't like what I'm hearing.
Yeah, so there was a panel of people at UCSF. They had the UCSF's top infectious disease researcher, Emily Crawford, COVID Task Force Director, Christina Tato, Rapid Response Director, like all these different people who are at one of the top institutions. And they put out a bunch of information that is based on the assumption that, you know, no drug is developed in the next 6 months that is able to stop COVID-19. But, you know, they also explained why that is very unlikely. But basically, they said past containment, you know.
Oh, we're past containment.
We're past containment. It's... You know, the best we can do is slow the spread to help healthcare providers deal with demand peak, which is, you know, everybody hitting the hospital at the same time, not having enough resources, not having enough beds. So we're just trying to lower the peak of the surge of demand that will hit healthcare providers and to buy time in hopes that a drug can be developed. The U.S. are currently at where Italy was a week ago, and these people were saying they don't see any reason why the U.S. would be substantially different. Italy has actually a very advanced healthcare system, so that's somewhat disturbing.
They have a similar problem to us, though, which is the number of beds they have in ICUs.
Yeah.
Which is why I think when you look at a lot of the mortality figures in Italy, they're a little bit different than in China or South Korea because of when it just hit and the number of cases that needed to go into intensive care. They really were like, oh, we're going past the capacity of what we have in intensive care. So that's leading to lower quality of care for people.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, and they have more on average, more beds per thousand people than we do. Just right. barely more.
Just barely.
I think 3.2 to like 2.8 or something. But
yeah. But we are both like near the bottom for developed countries. We're not.
Yeah, exactly. We're South yeah. Korea had over 12 per thousand.
Yeah. We
the
had
other
2.8.
Thing is ventilators.
Right.
In terms of medical equipment is a very essential piece of equipment going right. into this. And there's a very disconcerting,
shortage.
Pretty big shortage. Which is why I think it's even more important for everybody to take as like any precaution as possible, because unfortunately America is set up to have a very uniquely tragic version of this pandemic yeah. play out here
yeah.
versus other countries.
Yeah. So the experts were saying 40 to 70% of the U.S. population will be infected over the next 12 to 18 months. That would equate to, based on current mortality rates, that would equate to about 1.5 million Americans. Whereas the seasonal flu's average is 50,000 Americans per year. So Trump was a little bit off when he said that it was no worse than the flu.
So are we closing shop for that long?
Yeah.
Is this yeah. how long we got to deal with this?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's where it...
I mean, Anthony Fauci, he's the guy on, you know, everybody's talking to. He's on the task force, coronavirus task force. I think he said something about, like, it's going to be 8 weeks before this really starts to get a little bit better. But
yeah.
But that doesn't mean, you know, things won't still be canceled at right. that point. We still need to have all that social distancing. So who knows how long. That's part of the problem with a lot of the hysteria, too, is that mixed messaging. You know,
yeah.
you're hearing things all over the place, and it's just really tough yeah. to get anybody to tell you the truth.
Because it's like, on one hand, there's the thing of, like, be calm, because what you're dealing with is in an illness that, for most yeah. people, isn't fatal.
Right.
However, we have to do what we can to actually limit the spread, which is why it's like, well, is it so bad I have to stay inside? But I
right,
thought it's
exactly.
just a cold or whatever. It's like, no, we have to do that so we're limiting the transmission.
Yeah.
So even if you feel like healthy and you can withstand any flu season or whatever, it's just that we have to take out the possibility of that happening.
Right.
And so I think that's what confuses a lot of people right. where it's like, wait, do I need toilet paper for 9,000 years because the toilet paper factory will close down?
Right.
And the power will go off? There are people who think the power will go out.
Right. People are hoarding bottled water. It's like, I think the water is still going to keep going.
Yeah. But yeah. I think.
That's why I like following Tom Hanks right now. At least all his updates have been, hey, guys, it's been good. You know,
right.
We're still doing all right. We're still here. You
right.
know.
I think that's where the danger is, right? Because the people who are able-bodied.
Right.
That will stay
yeah.
down. But if that infection rate, if we're looking at 40 to 70%, right. and then you take into account the people who are in those risk zones,
yeah.
then coupled with the capacity of ICUs for people who may get it bad enough to need intensive care, that's when it starts getting dark.
One of the interesting things about this whole thing is why kids aren't getting it that severe. I don't mm-hmm. know if you guys looked into that at all, but obviously when something comes out, a new flu or respiratory illness, they say that those are most at risk are the young people and the old people.
Right.
But this one is not affecting kids, because a lot of what's happening is the COVID-19 is exacerbating people's underlying health conditions.
Right.
And a lot of people that are dying, you know, COVID-19 will eventually give you pneumonia if it gets really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are dying from their underlying issues, not the pneumonia.
Right, right.
And kids obviously don't have a lot of those underlying health issues. A lot of it has to do with the inflammation in the lungs. The COVID-19 attaches to that.
Yeah.
And just us, you know, we're young and everything, but just living life, mm-hmm. you get inflammation in your lungs from pollen, all this stuff. And the younger kids don't have that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one of the interesting things. So you were talking about social distancing, closing schools down. Kids get COVID-19 at the same rates that adults do.
Yeah.
But they don't show the symptoms the same way. So
right.
a kid could go up to grandma, grandpa, and boom. You know?
Yeah.
It's a really touchy situation.
And that's the other thing, too, is like we're learning things by the day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
And so it's hard where it's like, first it's like, yeah, just wash your hands, man. Don't touch face. To like, yo, stay the fuck away from everybody. To,
right.
Yo, stay the fuck inside. To, I don't know, man. Give us a second. We're still learning something. Like, it might live on cardboard for 24 hours.
Yeah. Create a pillow for it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's.
Oh, shit. Cardboard?
Stop ordering from Amazon now.
That fucks with pizza, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, I mean, and I don't mean to say this like this
Sorry,
is exactly.
That's just got real for me, guys.
Yeah. And not to say like, I don't want to spread any misinformation. Please look it up. But again, the basics are you have to try and limit yourself to any kind of exposure.
Yeah.
But how this is going to play out over the next 12 to 18 months really depends on one thing we don't know is whether COVID-19 is seasonal. But if it is and subsides over the summer, it will roar back in the fall like the 1918 flu. And, you know, the one thing they said that they are definitively sure of is it's going to get worse before it gets better. And we'll be dealing with this for the next year at least. And our lives are going to look a lot different for the next year.
Yeah.
And
it's the disruptions are being felt across the board. I was tweeting the other day to hear like from listeners, like what's going on. And man, my heart goes out to people who are freelancers and are working in industries that depend on social interaction.
Yes.
You know, like for people who work front of house audio for concerts, people who do catering for events, people who bartend,
servers. In the sports industry.
Yeah.
You know, the trickle down of it.
It's really, really, it's massive. And that really can't be underlined enough. The one thing about this national emergency, aside from it becoming coming way too late,
right,
was finding out that Trump was waiting for Jared Kushner to deliver a report to him before he finally decided whether or not it was worth having a state of emergency. And not only do we learn that, but we also learn that him and old Teenage Mutant Ninja Goebbels himself, Stephen Miller, wrote that awful, awful address that sent the stock market crashing.
Of course.
Right.
And when you look at like, so what happened? Like what, how was Jared Kushner, what was he supposed to come back with?
Right.
Well, we're learning more about that. He fucking asked his brother's father-in-law to go on a Facebook group to crowdsource information from other doctors so he could bring some recommendations to Trump.
So just like a random group of doctors in a Facebook group.
Yes. It's like literally like panic, like writing a paper and being like, hey, dude, isn't your like dad a doctor? Like, can you ask really quick just so I can like get some good info and I'll put it in the footnotes. So
I mean, that's frustration that's been going on forever. Obviously, you go through all the stories with Trump and the intelligence community.
Yeah.
He just doesn't trust the people around him.
So he hands it off to some Facebook
crowdsource.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's tough. And the CDC, there's a lot of bureaucracy that happens too, even with the CDC and all that. But if you're trusting those people, Dr. Anthony Fauci has been like one of the most truthful people. He's like, hey, man, I can't tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We're going to be here for
at least two more months. President's probably should be get tested.
There was a CNN global town hall the other night, and the first question that Anderson Cooper asked Dr. Anthony Fauci was just like, hey, so the president's throwing a lot of misinformation out there, right? And he's like, well, what I will say is that you need to wash your hands, you know?
Right.
But the guy's so seasoned in that. But these are the people that he needs to be trusting and, you know, waiting on a report from Jared Kushner.
Well, right. So what happened was – this whole thing is really, really out there. It was so his brother is married to the supermodel Carly Kloss.
Okay.
Okay. Carly Kloss's father is a physician. So he posted in a group, started off this in this Facebook group, said, I have a direct channel to person now in charge at White House for COVID-19.
Wow.
And they're like, what the fuck group is this? So the Facebook group is called EM Docs, has nearly 22,000 members around the world who you have to provide your credentials to even join the group. So I guess some vetting, but I don't know how thoroughly you can vet people in a Facebook group,
because
you could just be
yeah.
like, yeah, here's a PDF of my credentials. So he said he later on, because people were like, what the fuck is going on? He said, tonight I was asked by Jared through my son-in-law for my recommendations. That's when I turned to you, my fellow doctors, for help. He called them BAFERDs, Baffords, which are badass fucking emergency room doctors. Thank God it's done colloquially. Then we can get the sick ass recs, bruh.
Yeah.
He said, between patients tonight, I've reviewed your responses and will summarize what I'm sending to Jared for your peer review before I send it. And then he was like, Jared is reading now. It's fucking
peer-reviewed Facebook group.
Facebook peer-reviewed.
Yeah.
And like a lot of people are like, most of the doctors were very skeptical or like, yeah, okay, guy.
Probably not the best way to figure this out.
Yeah, and they're like, what do you mean? Like, and they were also like, is this really the best forum for you to be giving recommendations to the president of the United States of America vis-a-vis your daughter's husband's brother? So then later on, after like a lot of people did actually give their very truthful recommendations, at the end he posted to the group, I would like to thank everyone who made suggestions on how to manage this crisis. However, some challenged me on the validity of my statement on being in a position to hopefully advocate for our patients. So for transparency, I will provide some background about my unique circumstance. I have not shared this in a professional forum before. Our daughter, Carly Kloss, parenthetical, one of the top models in the world, 45 Vogue covers and counting, proud dad commentary, close parenthetical, is married to Mr. Joshua Kushner. His brother is Mr. Jared Kushner, son-in-law to the president, and who is now directly involved with the response to this. I've been over the past 2 weeks stressing our concern through Josh about lack of like readiness, blah, 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 goes on to just say, like, and that's why I'm here. That right. is really... Normally, the leader of the free world has the resources to gather the great minds to yes. then be like, give it to me straight, rather than be like, you know, Ivanka's...
No, he's got to do everything like a gangster. He's got to do everything through personal channels.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Yeah. That's why he says, hey, Jared, go handle this for me.
Yeah.
Bring
right.
me the report.
Hey, you went to Harvard.
Yeah.
Right. Go ask the smarties what's up. Yeah. But that's his idea of how, I guess, information
right.
flows.
Right. Well, that's amazing. We were saying that toilet papering someone's house would be the strongest flex in this emergency, but I think that Facebook group was actually the biggest flex I've heard of. Well, so what are employers doing to try and kind of slow this thing down?
Well, there's a lot because, again, the real knock-on effect for all of this, right, is as businesses grind to a halt, people start working from home, offices close, there are a lot of people who are going to – their income is going to take a direct fucking hit. Other countries, like, you know, in Italy, they're like, we're freezing mortgage payments.
Right.
Like, there's no fucking way – this isn't going to spiral into total chaos unless we can reassure people, like, look, you're not going to get evicted right now. Like, let's get back on our feet and we can deal with this shit later. Democrats have tried with many responses, but, you know, I think a lot of the Republicans out the gate were like, no. Like, right. hold on. Free testing and, like, paid sick. Hold on.
Yeah, we can't put that burden
on
employers.
The employers.
Yeah. Think about the employers, won't you?
Because
this is also a really good, like, you know, your point about people who are freelance. This is really where the lie of the booming economy with all the new jobs, but all those jobs are freelance gig work.
Yeah.
That's
hourly
the lie.
Service workers.
Yeah.
Right.
The lie is really going to be put to that now as, you know, the economy slows down and those jobs just aren't there.
And sometimes it's easy to maybe obfuscate and, like, to your base if you're on the right to say, oh, I don't know, maybe it's immigrants who are actually draining the economy. Uh-huh. People are going to realize very quickly, it's like, hold on, dude, like, what are you doing as my fucking representative in government
yeah.
to fucking help me? Because this other shit you're selling me is not putting food on my table. It's not keeping me from being evicted.
Yeah.
What is going on? I hope... Unfortunately, I hope this pain point may be a way for people to begin to see things a bit differently, because it is, like you're saying, it's bringing a lot of the sort of kicking the can down the road mentality of this administration. It's time to, like, the rubber's hitting the road now. And it's like, how long can you just say, well, this is like, oh, maybe it'll be better now. There are a lot of people who are in dire straits or are going to be. So especially the restaurant industry, hospitality, they're being really hard hit. I know in, like, New York, they're recommending, like, they cut the capacity of restaurants down to 50% just to give people as much space right. as possible. The Darden Restaurants, who owns Olive Garden and Longhorn Steakhouse, we've talked massive shit about how, like, they really fuck over their employees with payments and paid sick leave and things like that. They've actually extended paid sick leave for all of their hourly employees. That's like 180,000 people.
Right.
Because I think a lot of restaurants are now thinking, like, fuck, we're all going to lose money, but it's going to really have reverberations for our employees, like, when they can't come into work. McDonald's, they said they'll continue to pay quarantined workers, but that's only for the corporate-owned restaurants,
right?
Which is like 700 out of, you know, the other 13,000 that are owned by franchisees.
Oh, Jesus.
So
right.
people are trying to do stuff. Instacart and DoorDash are trying to do a little bit more. So people are trying to protect their employees as best as possible and understanding, like, what the knock-on effect is. So we'd hope to see that extend to the government as well with this emergency declaration.
Are you guys still ordering food delivery? Because we're practicing social distancing and, you know, these are point people that are touching base with a lot of different people.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
that I want to, you know, diminish that industry, because I still order food too, but that's another concern also. I mean, that's,
right.
they're running around all
yeah,
over
a lot
place.
Of people. Yeah, I mean, like, there are a lot of places are starting to do a contactless delivery, so it'll be like they'll drop it at the door now.
Oh, okay.
And things like that, just to limit any kind of interaction for the delivery people. Yeah. My whole thing is, now if I'm going somewhere where there's a tip column, I'm tipping as much as I damn near can.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
If, you know, I think just for anyone who is in a place of, who are fortunate enough to be able to work from home, I know a lot of people are like, oh shit, I get to wear sweatpants. there are a lot of people who that is not what this these right. next couple months are going to be yeah. like. It is going to be very difficult. And I really want to express the need for people, if you are able-bodied, healthy, and you have the free time to help other people, please do. Not to say that you need to go volunteer at a hospital.
Right.
Check on an elderly neighbor. Yeah. Who should not be going out. Hey, can I get you something? Can I go to the store for you? Check if you have people who need childcare.
Yeah.
Hey, can childcare I babysit your kids for a little bit? Whatever. But I think we really, because unfortunately, our leaders, quote unquote, in this government, Freudian slip there, are not really thinking of the best ways to help. We really are going to have to look out for each other in ways we can, small or large, but you know, tipping has been the one way I've tried to do it. If the last time I had food delivered, I was just like, yeah, like just please, I get it. Like it's difficult. And knowing so many people who have gig jobs like that, my heart really goes out to everybody. And, you know, I want to stress, if we can help and you're in a place to do that and you're fortunate enough, please do.
When the federal government puts that 1.5 trill into the market, does that go into like companies' ability to like help their employees get through this, or where is that money going? Like, how's that even being delivered? Is it like via, you know, just tax? Like, how are they even doing?
I don't know. Just what I know it as just they're just injected 1.5 just capital into the market.
Yeah. So I mean, that's not trickling down. Like
that's just to keep the market from crashing harder than it was.
Yeah. I mean,
keeping the businesses afloat.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily all the way down.
I mean, Miles, you've always said you believe in trickle down economics,
yep.
But that's
fucking hell.
All right. Well, we're gonna take another break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Mm-hmm. And people are out here in Hollywood. People are panic buying grave sites.
Yeah. Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Yep.
Very iconic cemetery. People like Chris Cornell, Cecil B. DeMille, Judy Garland are resting there. Even my great-grandmother and my grandmother there, rest in peace. But they got like the more broke people section where it's just like a little like square in the wall. Not like the – I think there's like a Legends thing by the lake is what they call that area. Mm. They were – the co-founder of the cemetery had said they just got increased call volume of people trying to buy pre-death plots now.
Damn.
I don't know who that's for. I don't know if that's like – if there are older people who are like, yeah, I guess it's – you know, coming for me. I better get that plot now.
Right.
But the quote from the co-founder was, I've never seen anything like this before.
Wow.
And they were just, you know, it's a quote. It's very similar to people going to Costco. They don't need all the toilet paper and sanitizer, but they're buying it anyway.
Wow.
So
it's a little bit, he's being a little bit open with that. He's like, hey, it's good for business, man.
Yeah. You know? But it's,
we're crushing it out here. I don't know about y'all.
It's interesting. I mean, I guess people sure really, it's very happening. Important to yeah. be at Hollywood Forever.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean.
Maybe not want to, you know, your family, don't burden them. But,
right.
I mean, I've been to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery a bunch of times.
They
have
Espia?
They have that. And it's kind of the worst time of the year when people are coming because there's no parking. But, you know.
Oh, right.
Except for that spot right there where they, on the big lawn where they have the movies and everything. It's a pretty packed cemetery.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, these are coming at a premium, one, and then two, where are they going to put you? You're going to put you in that corner.
If you've like, walked through there, I'm like, how the fuck you going to fit any more plots
right.
in here? Like, I don't know if you can. I know, like, the mausoleums, like, if you're being cremated, I think there's obviously space there.
Yeah.
But if you want a full-on burial plot.
Right.
Absolutely.
That place is like a park. People walk their dogs there. People play Pokemon Go there.
Yeah.
I see whole families doing that. It's
interesting. It is like a
experience.
Park.
Yeah.
Now, if you're choosing between a quiet graveyard where you could be buried or a place where there are people like playing Pokemon Go and walking their dogs, I go with the bustling thing that's like treated like a park.
Yeah. You're saying if you're a ghost resting there?
Just like generally, just not knowing what the afterlife has. I just like that idea of like there being some activity and not just like a quiet, like
or someone
meadow
hitting,
somewhere.
Someone like hitting dust off out the can on your gravestone.
Right. Yeah.
It's actually really calm and peaceful there to take a walk. It's a nice place.
Yeah.
It's weird to say that a cemetery is like that, but it's
for
it's
people
a nice
who aren't
place
familiar, because you're like, when you watch the movies there's a thing called Cinespia where they will play older films or like semi-new, like culty
like
films.
Jaws, Caddyshack.
Pulp Fiction. Clueless. Things that they know they can generate a bunch of people to come.
Yeah.
You bring your blankets and shit. You sit out on the lawn, watch it. Sometimes they have concerts.
Drinks.
You're not desecrating graves or anything like that, but that just happens to be a thing that we do in Los Angeles is we party in graveyards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a true story.
They actually have like concerts there too.
Yeah. Saw James Lake there.
Yeah. I saw a Spoon there. Mm. All right. Well, let's talk about entertainment. Let's talk about what people are doing.
Yeah.
I know that Netflix's stock went up at the beginning of this crisis because people, I guess the market was like, well, shit, what else are people going to do?
Yeah.
I think
it's
gone down
since.
Netflix
and fuck.
Yeah, Netflix and fuck, as the saying goes.
Or chill, right? No, all right. I always get it mixed up.
Yeah. But I think.
Oh, no, it's Hulu and fuck.
Hulu and fuck, Netflix
and
chill.
Yeah.
Netflix is more laid back.
Disney Plus and plug your ears.
Yes. So anyways, if you're working from home, you need to find something to watch that's going to be entertaining. What are we looking at, Miles? What's on your docket?
I think Netflix and shit can only go so far. You use YouTube too much, you might end up a white supremacist if you're on YouTube for too many hours. So you got to be careful with these things. That's why I feel like in these times, if you are at home and you are fortunate enough to be able to relax or something, or even if you can't, I think regressing back into the times when the world was fine and we were younger and knew not the ills of the world may be a very good antidote for being cooped up inside or getting stressed out. So for those people, I present the VHS Vault, which is part of the Internet Archive. So the VHS Vault is basically... people have basically digitized over 20,000 recordings. And it's broken up into years. So there's shit from as early as like the 60s, I want to say. And you can choose like 2019 down to 1995. There's like 700 videos or whatever. Within there, you can watch stuff like, you know what? I just want to watch a 1 hour block of commercials from 1993. Yeah. Or you can say, I want to watch 4 hours straight of MTV during in 1995. Yeah. Or like random concerts. You could be like, oh, yeah, man, I want to check out fucking like Mortal Kombat extras. Sure. Or a Fugazi concert from France in June of 95. There is all kinds of digitized content on here. So there is all kinds of stuff for everyone. You can even get like those like bootleg straight to VHS, like off brand Disney sequels they would do, like Aladdin 2 or whatever shit like that. Or other people just have like, ripped 5 hours straight of Beavis and Butthead. But it's all there. It's very interesting, like, look into the past.
Give me some Nickelodeon and Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah.
I'll watch that's that in there over and over
again. Salute Your Shorts is on there. Yeah. Also, the 1995 Microsoft Windows 95 video guide that features Matthew Perry and Jennifer Aniston getting like trapped in the internet.
Yep.
Which is pretty dope.
This is the true power of the internet right here.
There also 100%. Seems to be pornography mixed in here. Or at least nudity.
Yeah, there might be. You know what I mean?
Linnea Quigley's horror workout has just a butt.
Oh, lit horror video workout?
Yeah, horror.
Yeah, what is that? Like a man with a knife chasing you? And you getting toned?
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe she's a scream queen.
Warm up video to Tracy classics. Lords.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
Video classics. Ident, 1979.
Shout
just
out
a big
to Tracy
butt.
Lords.
Yeah.
Wow, we've really. I forgot about her.
Yeah.
See, and that's the other thing. We'll remember the adult performers of our past.
Yeah.
There's a fucking. There's like a Hanson tour video if you go to 97, if you want Tulsa, Tokyo, and the Middle of Nowhere tour.
Wow. There
you go. You spend hours there, right?
Yeah.
There.
I mean, Tiananmen Square, 1989, just like a feed of the news from Tiananmen Square, 1989.
A goofy movie is on here. Now
yes.
I'm sold.
Now we're good.
But you get that VHS grain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the difference, I think, now. It's like, you know what? Turn the lights off. You know what I mean? Pack a fat one and then watch the Mask VHS rip.
It's like listening to vinyl,
right?
But for your eyes.
Yeah, yes. It really is.
It's got that warmth.
There is something, though, about that VHS grain that I miss a little bit.
And when you say pack a fat one, you mean pack a fat lip, right?
Pack
just
a fat lip.
Just a horseshoe of skull.
Just a skull, dude, whatever the packets you want.
Oh, yeah.
Just not the menthol, like the menthol kind. That's a little too much. That's a little too intense.
Nah, it's all gross.
I saw a car on Reddit on R Trashy that was a guy whose coworker just spits in the interior of his car.
That's
no
gross.
Spit cup, and the interior looked. I don't know. That's a very narrow thing for people who have ever chewed tobacco. But yeah,
it's one of the grossest.
Imagine needing
things.
A ride, and that's the only guy that's right.
And the guy was like, "That my coworker offered me a ride. I refused when I saw this." Was sort of like the headline.
All right. Well, another blast from the past that you can take that won't be very transportative or won't transport you anywhere, but the present is the 2011 movie Contagion. When it the news first started hitting, you can almost track like how people are dealing or like how real the pandemic is to people through how many people are watching this movie because it started out and it like made the it made the studios like top 100 back in January, and now it's like number 2 behind only the Harry Potter movies.
It was 270 at the end of December, and went to just behind Harry Potter now.
Right.
That's a jump. And like a lot of the, I think it was on maybe The Verge or something, they were looking at a lot of streaming numbers that have gone up. Like the amount of BitTorrent downloads of Contagion has gone up too, but they say because of the way torrents work, like you can't really get a real idea of how many people have downloaded it, but just based on how many more people are seeding it, they're like, okay, there are a lot of people like who want this movie right now.
Well, we've had other outbreaks, obviously Ebola, but you know those obviously really didn't happen here, except for you know that one thing in Texas that happened. But you know the last big thing we go to is always 1918, right? The Spanish flu.
Yeah.
So nobody knows how these things work. So where do you go? You go to the movie.
Yeah, you go to
gotta see.
Hey, what's it gonna be like?
Yeah, huh.
It's actually very. I mean, so there's you know they have quarantines, they have people you know hoarding, they have. You know, it originates in Asia, is easily transmitted through touch. The movie examines the concept of social distancing. Like all these different things that you are now hearing in the news are like all over this movie.
See, that's what's like, I don't know if that's a thing to help you, like you want to look at right now, is watch the version, because like what the body count in that is like 26 million people globally. Because so it's way more fatal, isn't it?
Yeah, this is way more fatal. Than...
And also, wait, it's a fucking movie.
Right.
But in the end, they get a handle on it, right?
They do get a handle on it.
All right, see, it ends with a happy ending.
Yeah.
By bombing the world.
And it's the CDC. And they don't have a dumb fuck president who is getting in their way because he thinks it hurts their numbers. And in fact, there is no president, which is probably smart.
Right.
But it is by Steven Soderbergh. It stars Matt Damon. It's got good performances. There's also Jude Law plays a conspiracy theorist who is infuriating. But I remember finding him less believable back when I saw it in 2011 than now. I'm like, oh yeah, that's
A real guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Someone who's profiting off of lying.
Yes. And then the film's science advisor has been doing the media rounds.
This is my favorite thing.
People should have taken the movie much more seriously.
That's a quote.
Quote, if people are watching it again, and if federal and state officials are watching it again, I hope they're realizing that the movie was really about what can happen if a novel pandemic threat, and I think people should have taken it much more seriously.
Okay.
I wish people had paid closer attention to it when the film came out.
Okay, that's okay.
If you would have shown it to Trump at the very beginning, he would have been like, okay, this is a real
He'd be like, oh no, what happened to Gwyneth's head?
That is wild because, you go, she is a goner very early on. She's patient
zero.
Stuff,
the goop stuff didn't help her?
No.
I know. That's
the yoni egg didn't keep the MEV5 or whatever the fuck it is.
Right.
I mean, honestly, just that line where he says, I wish people had paid closer attention to it when the film came out is the saltiest thing ever.
Yeah.
If you're like a man of science or whatever, you'd be like, when I was advising, this was based on a lot of things that I was really worried about and a lot of people in my industry had been talking about versus like, man, see, y'all should have listened to me. Y'all shouldn't have fucking been making fun of me when I made that movie. See, now you feel stupid, huh?
It's just a big, I told you so.
Yes. But didn't he?
So Trump has declared a national emergency on coronavirus to access $50 billion of funds to fight the virus. And it's just a little bit late, but... it is probably a good thing.
Oh, and also, I'm pretty sure he's still planning to try and cut food stamps for people.
Oh,
as this is all happening. If there's anything people who cannot work need less, it's food.
Right. People think that Mexico might close the border to the United States.
The irony. Yeah. I was been saying, just wait till the U.S. is on these travel ban lists now. How are you going to like that?
Yeah. So we'll see if that happens. It might have happened by the time you listen to this, but
I know. Honestly, half the shit we say could be completely useless by the time you hear it because everything is so fluid at the moment. But we're trying our best.
Yes. Well, Oscar, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
Yeah,
where
thanks
can people,
for having me, guys.
Find fun. You, follow you.
I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Lowdown Oscar, and I do the Daily Dive podcast. So you can get that on the iHeartRadio app and just search Daily Dive, and I'm right there. And I do. Just the interviews and stuff, news, top news of the day. Obviously, a lot of coronavirus, but hopefully we sneak in a couple other good stories in there as
well.
Gonna
have to, yeah.
And is there a tweet or some other act of social media you've been enjoying?
You know what? We were talking about the working man's bidet. So it was just a story that was on Facebook from a friend that they went to Walgreens. They had somebody in front of them stocking up a full cart full of toilet paper. And they were approaching this, almost like, hey, don't touch my stash,
Right.
And then he says he only bought just enough to fill the little cabinet above his toilet. And he said, hey, if anything happens, at least we can get the hose in through the window and get that working man's bidet going.
There you
go. Yeah.
Great mind.
Just shout out to the manguera.
Yeah, exactly. And then all those memes. If you drank from the hose when you were a kid, you're immune to coronavirus.
Yeah, exactly.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And also my other show, if you're looking for some trash reality shows to watch, why not check out 90 Day Fiancé? Because that's the other podcast I do talking about that show called 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra. We got new episodes every Wednesday. We might not even have to open up our back catalog, the vault, just to give you all some more content because I know a lot of people will probably have some time to listen to podcasts. A tweet I like. From Reductress at Reductress. Cute. This woman thinks she'll be able to nap for just 20 minutes. It's a woman sleeping very peacefully, but I just identify with that for sometimes you're like, can I make this into a nap? Like I got 35 minutes in between things. And it never works. I always end up on my phone.
Yeah. some tweets. I've been enjoying Nick Weiger tweeted a screen cap of all the COVID-19 symptoms, fever, dry cough, shortness of breath, common headache sometimes, runny nose, rare, diarrhea rare. And he said, diarrhea rare? I got to get this thing. So that's what I've been left, man.
Okay.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
Okay, so this is actually a cover from a multi-instrumentalist named Bink Beats from the Netherlands, who I love. He's so massively talented. This is actually from a YouTube video where he plays every single instrument but he's doing a rendition of an electronic song by the artist Lapalux called Without You. The original video for the Lapalux track is wild visually, but watching a guy play everything like on marimba and like homemade instruments to create the same feel of an electronic track is unbelievable. So look, if you got time to watch the clip, search Bink Beats, B-I-N-K-B-E-A-T-S, one word, Without You. All of his videos are so dope because he'll do everything from J Dilla to Flying Lotus to Aphex Twin, like everybody, or Square Pusher rather. But he plays every single thing live and loops it, and it's unbelievable. So this is Without You by Lapalux by Bink Beats.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to you then. Bye.
Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.